Hey, I have a question for you. Are you struggling to stand firm in your faith, push through tough times, or make a difficult decision? Well, you're in the right place. Because today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in a powerful series called Uncommon Courage. And in this series, you'll discover how to stand boldly for the truth, persevere through challenges, and step out in faith. Please don't miss a single day of Daily Hope, because the courage you need starts with God. So let's jump right in for part one of a message called The Courage to Follow Your Calling.
Now imagine if you had been given the opportunity to sail over to America on the Mayflower. I'm sure you would be excited about that, going to a new country, starting in a new land, building a new home, but you would have no idea of the long-term impact of that small journey. Nobody on the Mayflower could have imagined that what they were starting was the greatest and most powerful nation in the history of the planet Earth. Nobody would have known that. Or let's say you were one of the few people chosen to be in the Continental Congress in the founding of the United States of America. You would know it was important. You would be excited about it, but you'd have no idea what America would look like 250 years later. You see, we never get to see in advance the impact of our destinies. God doesn't show us what our lives are going to do in the future for future generations. But we do know some things. For instance, we know that your destiny is determined by God, and that destiny is set when He decided both when and where you would be born and where you would live. The Bible says in Acts 17:26 here on the screen, God determines the time set for each of us and the exact places where we should live. So when God decided when you would be born and where you would be born, that determined a lot of your destiny. For instance, it is not your destiny to invent the telephone. It's already been invented. It is not your destiny to fight the Peloponnesian Wars. They've already been fought. It's not your destiny to go to the moon. That's already been done. So when God chose when and where you would be born, that had a lot to do with what your destiny would involve. We do know that our destinies are entwined with each other, that you weren't made simply to live for yourself. You weren't made simply to live on your own, for your own goals. Romans 14:7 on the screen says this, "For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone." In other words, your destiny is connected to my destiny, and my destiny is connected to your destiny, because we know each other. We're in the same church family. You're a part of this Saddleback Church. The destiny of this church has impact on you. And the impact you have on this church is intertwined. It's part of your destiny to be involved in your role in this church family. If it wasn't, you wouldn't be here. So God put you here at this place, in this point in time, at this historic moment. Now, he could have put somebody else here, but he didn't. He put you here, which means your destiny is intertwined with the destiny of Saddleback Church, because God chooses the times and the places where we would live. We do know another thing about your destiny, that you will miss it if you choose to go with God's plan, go with your plan instead of God's plan for your life. You will miss your destiny if you choose to follow what you want to do with your life rather than what God designed you to do, what God has called you to do. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:15, again, here on the screen, "Look after each other so that none of you will miss out on the special favor of God." Now, as your pastor and as somebody who loves you deeply, part of my job is to make sure you don't miss out. Part of my job as a spiritual leader is to make sure you don't miss out on the destiny that you were created for. And part of your destiny in life is to play a role in God's larger plan in history. We're all just cogs in a wheel. And there were people before us, so there would be people after us. And we are on the scene for 60, 70, 80, maybe 100 years at the most. And then somebody else takes the baton and moves on. What is that overarching goal of history that God has a part for you to play in? Well, the answer is real simple. The Bible tells us that all of history is moving toward a climax. And that climax is this. God is preparing a family that's going to live with him forever in eternity. It's the entire reason the universe exists. If God hadn't wanted a family, he wouldn't have set up the universe, set up the galaxy, set up the human race, given us a choice to choose whether we're going to be in the family or not, whether we're going to love him or not, whether we're going to trust and obey him or not. None of that would have happened. But everything, the Bible says, that's happening in life and in history is because God is creating a family to live with him forever, a forever family of his children. And the Bible says that part of our goal is to make that message known to everybody so that those who are going to choose to be a part of that family forever can choose to be a part of it. Look at this verse here on the screen, Matthew 24, 14. The good news about God's kingdom, that's his family that's going to be forever, will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it. And then the end will come. You say, well, when's history going to end? It's going to end when everybody that's going to be a part of God's family has gotten in. And only God knows that amount. But he says this good news is going to be shared everywhere around the world, to every corner of the world, to every crevice of the world, to every people group, to every tribe, nation, language. And when all of the people that God knows already in advance who are going to decide for him have decided, history is going to end and we move into the next phase, which is eternity. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, which is the last book in the Bible, chapter 5, that one day around the throne in heaven, there will be people gathered for God's family from every nation, every people, every language, and every tribe. That there's going to be somebody represented from every nation, every language, every tribe, every people group in the world who's going to be gathered in God's family in eternity. Here's the problem. There are still 3,400 tribes that don't have any Christians in them, that don't have any church in them. They are all small tribes or people groups, anywhere from 5,000 people to at the most 100,000 people. This is the final frontier. Even 2,000 years after Jesus Christ came to earth and gave us the good news and died on the cross for us, there are still 3,400 small tribes, and many of them are out in the middle of nowhere. Many of them are in the middle of big cities. 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people that have a unique language group or unique cultural group. I'm going to make up one. Romanian gypsies might be a people group, a tribe. And there might be only 14,000 of them in the world. And maybe 10,000 are in Eastern Europe and 2,000 in Latin America and 2,000 in East Asia. But they're a group that would not have any particular Christian in the group or any particular church, which means somebody in that group has to come to Christ before the end happens. And so the clock is ticking. And in Matthew 16, verse 15, here on the screen, Jesus said this, I want you to go to all the world and tell the good news to everyone, everywhere. Now, who's supposed to do that? Those of us who know. Once you know the good news, you're supposed to share it with your family, with your friends, with everybody around you, and make sure that it gets to everybody, every corner, every crevice, so that there'll be people from every tribe, every nation, every language in heaven in eternity. Now, we have been moving toward this goal for 32 years. The whole reason God led me, called me, to move to Southern California and start Saddleback Church was for this big goal. To be a part of the overarching plan. We're not the whole part of it, we're one part of it, to help get that word to everybody so that God's family is gathered together. And we've been working on it for 32 years. Now, for us to get the message out to everybody around the world, that's kind of like going to the moon. It's a huge endeavor. You can't just go to the moon overnight. And when Kennedy in 19... I think it was 62, said, we're going to the moon by the end of the decade. The technology hadn't even been invented. So NASA said, in order to get where we need to go, an impossible goal, we're going to go through three stages. We called it the Mercury phase of rocket launches, and then there was the Gemini phase, and then there was Apollo phase. 10 years ago here at Saddleback Church, we began the peace plan. And we started the peace plan and took it in the three phases. We've already gone through the Gemini phase and the Mercury phase of the peace plan. We're now in Apollo. In the Mercury phase of going to the moon, the whole goal of Mercury phase was, can we put a man in space and bring him back safely? And we did that 7 times. Now, those guys didn't actually do anything in space. They just went into space and came back down. Actually, they could have sent a monkey because they didn't actually do anything. They were just, can we put them in space and bring them back? And we did that 7 times. Now, the Russians put some guys up that didn't all get back, but the Americans did. And in the first 4 years of the peace plan, we sent out about 4,000 of our members. 4,000 of you went all around the world. And fortunately, they all came back safely. So we passed the Mercury phase. Then we moved to phase two, which was the Gemini phase. In the Gemini phase, in going to the moon, the goal was, can we practice all the things we're going to need to do to go to the moon? Space docking, space walking, keep people in space long enough that would equal going to the moon and coming back. And so in the next 4 years of the peace plan, we went through what we called our Gemini phase. And we said, let's be the first church in 2,000 years of history to go to every nation. You know, Jesus said, go make disciples in every nation. So we said, why don't we do it? Well, we didn't even know how many there were. So we had to look it up. There are 196 nations in the world. 196. 194 are part of the UN. The only church, nations not in the United Nations are Serbia and Taiwan. And we said, let's just be the first church to go to every nation in 2,000 years. And you did it. You did it. And on November 18th, 2010, we went to Nation 196, little island in the Caribbean called St. Kitts, only 35,000 people. But we sent out of this church almost 16,000 people to go to every single nation. And we did that. Now we said, now we're going to the moon. And what's our goal now in the Apollo phase? Between now and the end of this decade, there's a church in every one of those 3,400 tribes who don't have one yet. So they can hear the good news that they're not an accident, that they're made to last forever, that Jesus died for them, that there's a purpose to their life, that life has meaning and significance, that their past can be forgiven, they can have a purpose for living, they can have a home in heaven, all of the good news. And that is our goal. That is our goal. And we have been working on that. Now, what we're going to do this weekend is we're going to look at the courage to follow your calling. Now, the Bible tells us real clearly that God created you for a specific vocation. The word vocation comes from the Latin word for calling. The Bible says that every person has a calling. Every person has a destiny. Every person has a life mission. Every person has a vocation. They're all different. We all have a different vocation. We all have a different task in life. We all have a different purpose. We all have a different ministry. We all have a different calling in life, but everybody is called. You know, growing up, I thought that when people say, well, I'm called, that's like, that was something just for priests or for nuns or for pastors or for missionaries. But the Bible says every person is called by God to do something in this world. You are to have a life mission. And we're all called to do different things, because if we all like to do the same thing, a lot would get left undone. So fortunately, God made us all different, gives us different vocation, different callings. Now, I want you to write two things down on your outline. Number one is that God designed me for a unique calling. God designed me. He designed you for a unique calling. You were custom shaped for a life mission. You were custom shaped for a legacy, for a destiny. And everybody is called to do something. There are no non-called people. If you're alive, if your heart is beating, God has a vocation, has a calling for your life. And no matter whether you are young or old, that calling is still in effect. Second thing I want you to write down is, only I can fulfill my God-given calling. Write that down. Only I can fulfill my God-given calling. Nobody else can do what God made me to do. And what that means is this. If you don't do what God made you to do with your life, it won't get done. Because somebody else isn't going to pick it up. You were uniquely wired. You were uniquely shaped. You were custom designed to fulfill a certain role on this planet. If you don't do that, you decide, I'm not going to follow God's calling on my life. I'm going to do my plan for my life. You will miss God's calling, and the world will miss the contribution that you were supposed to make with your life. That's why Paul says this there on your outline in Ephesians chapter 4. I beg you. Paul says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. How do I do that? How do I follow my calling? And I'm going to give you two examples of two very courageous people. One guy was named Caleb, and the other guy was named Timothy. They lived over 1,000 years apart from each other. But they both were called by God to do different things, but it took courage for them to do what God called them to do. Different generations, different time zones, even different locations. But they were different, but they had the same call, a same call of God in that God called each of them. In the Bible, when you talk about generations, a generation is 40 years. That's so like 40 years in the wilderness, that's a generation in the Bible times. Saddleback used to be a one-generation church. When we first started, we only had one generation, and everybody was pretty much about the same age. We're now a two-generation church. We have those of you who are over 40, and we have those of you who are under 40. Those of you who are over 40 are part of the Caleb generation. Those of you who are under 40 are part of the Timothy generation. God uses both. God needs both and wants to use both and wants to use you in a great way. So I want to tell you two stories this week, in the story of Caleb and the story of Timothy, and show you six things you need to do in order to fulfill the life mission that you were wired for, the calling that you were created for, the purpose that you were designed for. Now, the first is the story of Caleb. By the way, let me show you a picture of Caleb. I have one. Here it is. Okay. That's actually my grandson, Caleb. So that's not the one we're talking about this weekend. By the way, I got to tell you a funny story, because yesterday Kay picked up Caleb from preschool, and when he got in the car, he looked at her and he said, Grammy, why are you still alive? as a preschooler can always ask. And she said, because I'm not old yet. And she said, Caleb, do you think I'm old? He said, well, you are, but Papa isn't. So there we go. Wisdom from Caleb, all right? This concludes my message. Thank you, everybody. Go home. It's been nice seeing you. All right. You know the story of the Exodus. Moses leads the Jewish people out of 400 years of slavery in Egypt. And they cross this giant desert called the Sinai. And they come up to the area that God's going to give them, the nation of Israel, and it's called the Promised Land. And Moses says, okay, you guys, let's send in some spies to see what the land is like, so we'll know what kind of battles we're going to have to fight and what it's worth. So they send in 12 spies. Moses sends 12 spies in to spy out the land of Israel, the Promised Land. And when the 12 spies come back, there's a minority report and a majority report. The majority report says, there's no way we can take this nation. It's filled with people who could whip our fannies. We're never going to be able to handle this, and we should just go back to Egypt. There was a minority report by two guys who said, we can do this, we can do this. And their names were Caleb and Joshua. By the way, because they were the only two who had faith to believe they could go into the Promised Land, God let an entire generation wander for the next 40 years until that entire generation died off. And the only two people who were the original group who got to go into the Promised Land, who left Egypt, were Caleb and Joshua. And the only reason they got to go in is because they had enough faith to believe. But they came back with a positive report. What do we learn from the life of Caleb about your life calling? Three things. Write these down. Number one, the first thing we learn is, if I'm going to follow my calling, number one, I must believe I can do it, even if I'm scared. That's the first step of fulfilling your life mission in life. I must believe I can do it, even if I'm scared to death. This is the faith factor. In Numbers chapter 13, we have the story. It says, the spies who had gone in to see the promised land came back and they gave this account to Moses. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does indeed flow with milk and honey. In other words, it's a very bountiful, it's a very fruitful, wonderful place. In fact, here's the fruit, and they brought back some grapes and stuff. But, and here's the big but the people who live there in the promised land are powerful, and the cities are fortified, and they're very large. And we even saw the descendants of Anak there. And the Amalekites lived there, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Stalactites, and the Stalagmites, and the Audacites, and the Uptites. They all lived there. And these guys start having a panic attack. Now they said, we went into this country that God's supposed to give us, and it's a great country, but it's full of big cities, and they're walled cities, and there are giants there. There were people from the descendants of Anak. The Anak people were very, very tall, and in the eyes of the Hebrews, they looked like giants. By the way, Anak, a little trivia, pop culture, is where George Lucas got the term Anakin Skywalker. Remember how tall Darth Vader was? He was an Anakin. He was of the sons of Anak. He was a giant. He was taller than everybody. That's where he got that term. It's a Bible term. And he said, there are giants in the land. He said, it's giant cities with giant problems, with giant people, and we look like grasshoppers. So they're scared to death. Only one guy has the courage to speak up, and his name is Caleb. And he says, I believe we can do it even if I'm scared to death. Look at the next verse, verse 30, Numbers 13. Then Caleb silenced the people before God, before Moses, and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Now I want you to circle two phrases. We should and we can. Circle that. We should and we can. Those are the two essential attitudes for you fulfilling your calling in life. You got to say, I should do it and I can do it. That's the starting point. I should do it and I can do it. Once I know what God wants me to do with my life, I should say, I should do it and I can do it. That's exactly what Caleb said. Now, why was Caleb so confident? Because he trusted God. Look at the next verse. Caleb said, the Lord will lead us into that land and he will give us that fertile land. Don't turn against the Lord. Don't be afraid of the people in that land. We will chew them up and spit them out. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us.
You know, your prayers and financial support are having a huge impact on millions of people here and around the world. So thank you. Thank you so much. And now Rick's going to share a letter from one of our listeners who says Daily Hope is making a real difference in their life.
Hi, everybody. This is Pastor Rick. Because of the generous support of many of you Daily Hope listeners, we're able to offer Daily Hope devotionals for free worldwide. In fact, today I have a note from Paul in Kenya that shows how God is at work through the Daily Hope devotionals. Paul wrote me, he said, I'd like to sincerely thank you for the free gift of your Daily Hope devotionals. May God receive all the glory. For some time now, your inspiring and encouraging messages, along with scripture references, have helped me push through some really tough times and get closer to God. However, Paul writes, the best part is that my faith in God has now grown to the point that he recently gave me the strength and wisdom to accept his free, undeserved gift of grace and salvation by accepting and confessing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I feel like a new being, and I yearn to keep growing more and more in God's word and in wisdom, surrendering my life to his will alone. So please hold my hand in this journey to the glory and honor of God through Christ Jesus. Paul, without a doubt, I will hold your hand
as you journey with Jesus. There is no greater decision that you could have made than believing and receiving Jesus Christ. So congratulations, you're my brother in Christ. And I want to encourage you to be on the lookout every day to see how God guides you, how God directs you. It's an exciting journey. And by the way, keep studying His Word every day. Get a Bible and read it every day. I'm so thankful that Daily Hope Devotional is helping you to do just that. Now, the Daily Hope Devotional is helping so many people, like Paul, all around the world, grow closer to God. If you're not getting it, I really want to encourage you to go to PastorRick.com and sign up today.
Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.